It's always a joy to come to Brooks. Our relationship with this church goes many years, you know. And every time we come here, we are very much encouraged. And wonderful relationship. It had been with Pastor Bill and Pastor Audrey, now Pastor Aaron and Pastor Cindy and all the elders. And we are so glad to be here. We bring you greetings from India. And you saw all these ministries. You have to understand, we are not doing it. We have got a lot of pastors, our leaders. And Victory right now is in 21 states of India. Hallelujah. 21. So we have 29 states in India. We call it states. You call it province. And then 9 union territories. So we have gone into 21 states. And the vision God has given us is one church in every district of India. Hallelujah. By the next 10 years' time, decade, we are very much. Last year, we were around 100 churches. And this year, we are 250 churches, 15 churches. Praise the Lord. Would you like to give a clap unto the Lord? Yes. And this year also, we are encouraging everybody. Every church, plant one church. That's always very simple, you know. The existing churches can plant one church, as house church, or as a church by the riverside, a church in the mountain, or a church by the seaside. Anywhere you can start church. What is a church? Where two or three gather in His name, that's a church. Is that right? Do you believe it? I don't think it'll be so dark. I'm unable to see you. You believe it? Hallelujah! Because two or three, when Jesus came into the world, He came all by Himself. Then He put the disciples. Then that's how the church is started. So, and also, we are very much encouraging because this is a very big country. I think we have already beaten China in population. We are 1.4 billion right now. And the United Nations organizations have already announced that. And Delhi, from where we come, me and Lizzie come, that's where our Victory Churches of India's headquarters is. And that's more than 25 million people in one city. And we just thank God for the opportunity to take the gospel to 25 million people without any visa, without any immigration check. Hallelujah. Right there in that city, you know, we are able to take the gospel, and we are believing for many churches. And all of our leaders join with us. Whatever you saw that, whatever we are doing it as a team because the work is so much. We believe in the power of association. Can you all say power of association? Power of association. Come on, shout out loud, power of association. You know why we say that? To tell you? It has to go from your ear into your spirit. And you understand one will chase 1,000. And two, come on, 10,000. Two people. One will chase 1,000. Two, 10,000. But the enemy is such a cunning fellow. He does like this. He keeps you chasing 1,000. He keeps another believer chasing 1,000. Say, both are chasing only 2,000, and he holds 8,000 in his hand. If the body of Christ could understand, when we come together like this, when we join our hearts and mind with, you know, one accord with the leadership of the church, and join together, mighty things can be done in the name of Jesus. I believe that. Hallelujah. So that is the power of association. So greetings to all of you today. And some of you may know us, some of you may not know us, but we are not quite new to this place. We have been coming here for nearly 30 plus years, right here. I was here when Pastor Bill was dedicating this church. The first inauguration, I was here. You know, this church, and God has been very good to this wonderful church. And every time I look at Brooks, and I always think there is a purpose for which God has put this church right here. Our God does not do anything without a purpose. there is a purpose for everything. For example, if you come to Delhi, which is a capital of India, I mean 25 million people, and God gave us a place after the city, and then if you go to back of our the outskirt of a city, there is a temple city full of temples. I don't think you have seen temples like that. The monkey god, you know, the statue of that monkey god is 60 feet high. And that's behind us. And God gave us a place right in between the city and the temple city. So victory is there. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we don't realize what God is doing. But God has a purpose for every one of you. Even I feel very strongly as you were praying there. And then here she released the prophetic word, you know, that there is something that God has got for every one of us, especially the young people sitting here. God has a great purpose for your life. And as you begin to walk with Jesus, I've been singing many songs, you know, to be in the presence of God. And as you begin to walk in the presence of God, just like the flower petals, one by one, it will open up. God will, you know, show to you. Many of the young people, I think God loves you so much. Okay, before I ask my wife, Pastor Lizzie, to come and share what God has put in his heart, I just want to do something. You know, 1963, when I was 16 years old, from a very economically challenged, poor background, my class teacher led me to Jesus. There were 60 people in the class, 60 students in the class. I don't know, for some reason, I don't know why, his eyes fell on me. And he joined the school, high school, that year, and the next year, he left. Just 1 year only he came. And in that 1 year, I don't know why, his eyes fell on me, and he asked me, you know, you have to come to my room. So I went to his room, and he gave me a piece of cake. He always say that one. And then he said, you can eat it. So I ate the cake. And then he asked me a question. Do you have Jesus in your heart? I sing the choir, because we were attending the Anglican church. He said, no, I am not asking whether you sing in the choir or not. I am asking, do you have Jesus in your heart? I said, no, you know, we conduct a lot of Christmas, you know, functions with our priest. No, you didn't understand. Okay, he turned. Did you ever invite Jesus to come into your heart? I said, I never done that. Even though, you know, we were born in a nominal Christian family, go to church, attend VBS, Sunday school, everything. I have not done it. Then he asked me a question. Would you like to invite him into your heart? No, I cannot say no, because I have eaten his cake. See, I said, I didn't understand what he was talking about. I didn't know what is the meaning of accepting Christ in the heart. I just have a Christian name. Of course, I have two Indian names and then middle name Christian name. That's all I thought, okay? I think that both of us, we knelt down and he said a prayer. And it's just like in those days, Billy Graham, Dr. Billy Graham was very, very strong. And many of the evangelicals in India, they were following a simple, you know, prayer, an altar call prayer. He said a prayer. I repeated it. I invited Christ to come into my heart. It was in the month of July, 1963, when I was 16 years old. Come from a very poor background, very poor background. You know, I was just telling some of the leaders that I had never even seen a chocolate bar till the age of 16. I do not even know what does that mean, that kind of background. But then when Jesus came into my heart, he totally changed me. He didn't make me a rich man overnight, but he gave me the peace that passeth all understanding. And I said, God, I don't have anything to give to you. Because when I go to church, we do not even have money to put the offering. The offering basket is coming. The bag. Didn't even have money. We were so poor. 8 children in the family. But then God gave, Jesus came in my heart. And my class teacher, the next year he left. And then he taught me 2 things. Read the Bible, meditate it. Then he taught me how to pray to God. These are the 2 things he taught me. And I think from 1963 till today, that's a strong foundation he put in my life. And I learned to read the Bible, meditate. And then even the verse that she was quoting, that is what God has been talking to me the last 3 days. And exactly she's quoting the prophetic word, the same word. You know, so, and my life completely changed. And I said, God, I don't have anything to give to you, but I give to you my life. If you ever want me, I am willing to come. Okay. We started right there. You all have to understand there are 4 stages in our life. Whether spiritual life, ministry life, corporate sector, business, or job, anything in your life, there are 4 stages. Number 1 is your stage of survival. Everybody learn to survive. Everybody learn to survive. And the second stage is survival of stability. You stabilize. You can be thinking about your life. That's what you have come through. And the third stage is a stage of success. You begin to get some success. Your corporate sections, your business, your job, you get some success and you stabilize your house and buy things like this. And the fourth stage is the stage of significance. You begin to do exactly significant things. I believe what happened was, why I said this is not my message. Why I said this was, this year is 75 years in my life. I'm running 75. And July comes 76. So a man of God said, friend of mine, he said, why don't you put all the things that you have, whatever you have learned in your life, and write a book and put 75 nuggets of your life. So I was really praying about it, and I thought how to do this, because I'm not like the young people, you know, they just go on, type everything very quickly, you know. You're all old timers, typewriters, you understand? I didn't go to the school at all. My father was after me, go and learn typing. And now I do not even know. We had to go like this, one by one. Thank God we are surviving. We have come to. And then what I did was, I just recorded all my message, my whatever I want to say, and sent it to my daughter. She's in Sweden. She put everything in word form, came and sent it back to me. And one of my city, you know, friend, he considered me as his father. And he said, I will take care of that. Only put all these things together. And then some of the pictures and 75 nuggets, 75 things that I have learned in my life. You know, sometimes you learn by trial and error method. You have to understand. Yeah, many things. You know, we never had a beautiful church like this, wonderful pastors, you know, and elder pastors who have been here. We just have to learn everything by ourselves. You have to go into the jungle to pray, because the church, they never even believed the Holy Spirit. They never even believed in the Holy Spirit. When we were filled with the Holy Spirit, young people, and the church said, now you all get lost. Don't come into the church. Find some other church where you can be comfortable. So we were kicked out of the church because we were filled with the Holy Spirit. But now, tremendous churches are coming up, leaders. But in those days, so we learned many things there. And I put those things into this, and my children also helped me. And this is the name of the book, The Path to Significance. Hallelujah. This has come out in a book form, and I cannot send hard copies from India because it's very costly, you know, cost-wise postage. So I was just able to bring only 2 copies. is going to be on Kindle very, very much soon. Trying to put it on the Kindle so that anybody can, you know, download it and find it. So some of the things that you've seen was, it goes like a lot of endorsements also here. A friend of mine, now he's the, you know, president of the Assemblies of God, the whole world. He's in Madras. He has a church of 50,000 members in his church. And then my friend Kong Hee from Singapore, you know, is a 30,000 member church. So they all have written the endorsement here. So what I'm going to do was, I'm going to give the first copy to Pastor Bill and Pastor Ardy. This is our gift to you, Pastor Bill. Can I come down and give to you? Yes. Can you please give a big clap unto the Lord? Let's see. Yeah, okay. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, yes. And our second copy, only that many, we could bring it, goes to the senior pastor of this church, Pastor Aaron and Pastor Cynthia, and for their wonderful, the generous heart. And I'm going to give the second copy to Pastor Aaron and Pastor Cynthia. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Yeah. I never thought I'll be able to do that one, but we did it. But soon it's going to be. It's a small chapters. Everything, for example, let me explain this to you. Sometime we, you know, in my early days, of course, after coming to North India, this you also will be sharing. I will share with that you. You know, the time came, I was so busy with the ministry, and always conducting crusades, 150,000 people, 70,000 people, 80,000 people to organize. They're all Hindus, they're all Christians. And bring all of the Muslims and Hindus are coming and preaching the gospel, traveling from one city to another city. So many times, we never had time to be with our children. What happened was, literally, I'm doing my ministry everywhere, but then I didn't have time to spend with my kids. I mentioned that there. Let me tell this. God has not forgotten, but as a father, was so interested in ministry, doing, souls are dying, we had to win. Yes, definitely, but we have a family to take care. We have a son, we have a daughter, we have children in the house. My second son, his name is Kenneth, he was around 12 years old, and he always wanted to play boomerang, you know, with me. So he said, whenever I come here, Dad, bring me one small boomerang we both can play. So we had moved to Delhi at the time. And I brought one, and I said, yes, son, we'll go to a garden or something, and we will pray. But I didn't have time, because I am in winning souls. It so happened when he was 12 years old, and he just sitting there in his school, the interval time, eating his food. And then this is a four-story building, 56 feet high. And a boy of 16 years old, right from the top, 56 years feet high, he fell on his head right from there, four-story up. People said that when he was coming down, his head was down. It was literally head-to-head collision. But at around 20 feet, his body tilted, and he landed, you know, on my son on his back. And he fell down, his pelvic bone broken, his ribs broken, so he's literally dead. So they were carrying and running, and they forgot about my son. Lizzie received a call. Some accident took place. They said, but your son is fine. But afterwards, 2 hours, 3 hours afterwards, she receives another call that you have to come to emergency ward. So she then told me, then I came from my office and we both went. His head is so much swollen. And the doctor on duty was telling, it looks that the skull is broken, it is protruding through your eye. You know, so that's what she said. But we said, devil, you cannot have our child, our son. God completely healed. But then what happened was, afterwards, I didn't have the chance to play boomerang with him. I'm talking to fathers. I'm talking to parents. We never played. He longed to play. I didn't have time. And then, okay, God blessed him. He came and studied in McMaster University in Hamilton. He did his Master of Business Administration. Got married to a very wonderful, godly American girl that they settled in Hamilton area. But what I say was, the chance, sometimes we miss. Whatever we do it right now. Some of those things I have mentioned in that book. I'm so glad this morning that I asked Lizzie to come to the front and share with you whatever in her God, in her heart to share with you. And we will keep our time. We will not take any more of your time. But we will deliver what God has put in our heart to deliver to you. Hallelujah. Can you be, please give a big clap and welcome Lizzie to come to the front. Yes.
Good morning, all of you. It's wonderful to be in your midst this morning. I'm grateful to God for bringing me after many years. I think I am in Brooks after a gap of 6 years. But it's so wonderful to connect with Pastor Bill and Pastor Audrey. And nice to meet Pastor Aaron and Pastor Cynthia. First time I'm meeting you. You are so lovely. Thank you for coming and picking us from Tabor. It was a wonderful drive. I'm so grateful to Pastor Bill and Audrey. I think in 1995, the first time I came to preach in the Women's Conference in Banff. After the conference, I came here and I shared one Sunday evening meeting, shared the word here. That is 1995. And that's my first memory of this church. And ever since that time, we have been coming here many times, having wonderful time spiritually and wonderful fellowship. Even my 3 children, all are married and settled, but they have a fond memories of you because they also visited you 1 or 2 times. So we are thankful to you. We are really grateful because it's a divine connection and godly relationship. We're thankful to you. I was thinking to fly and come to Canada is a long journey. And as we mature or senior citizens, it's not easy to travel. So I thought this trip, I'll join my husband and meet with all of our wonderful dear friends and God family here and say a big thank you to you all in person for your long-lasting, faithful relationship and fellowship, and say a good bye-bye too. So I thought I may not travel this far once again, but I'll be praying for you. We may meet you in Zoom, via Zoom. That's the technology now. That's the reason I joined my husband in this trip. So I'm thankful. We are enjoying the wonderful hospitality of Pastor Bill and Pastor Audrey. Every time we come, we enjoy our time with them and we have wonderful memories of you. We thank God for you and we really pray for you too. This morning, I just want to bring greetings from all our churches from India and churches from Delhi. We have 215 churches in India and 12 churches in Delhi. They all send the love to you. All of them know Pastor Bill and Audrey. Pastor Bill had come to India many times and he preached. Your powerful, challenging word is still there. And your seeds that your son had brought a lot of harvest in India. We are thankful, God, to you. Thankful to God. And also have a good memory of Pastor Butch and Marianne. Butch and Marianne, they came and dedicated the church in 2007. And they literally helped us to. The main seed money came from them to put the church there. Before that, we never thought of building a church. But their offering, generous offering, motivated us to start it. And in 2007, we finished it, and Butch and Marianne came and dedicated and opened the church. So I have good memory. I miss them, but I'll see them in heaven one day. Yeah, they are enjoying with Jesus their time. So this morning, it's such a privilege to be here to bring greetings to you all from India, the vast land, with the millions of people everywhere. You go anywhere, even in Delhi city, you walk into the downtown, you bump into people. You have to pave your way through. It's such a crowd of people. But God, we're thankful to God because God has put us in such a crowded, populated city because we are reaching out to them. Many nationals and many language groups, we are bringing the love of Jesus to them. We have a great task, a ministry before us. My husband and I, we always say we will not retire. We will serve the Lord till our last breath because the challenge is so much and we have to do so much in India. And we both are busily engaged. And my prayer every day morning when I get up and I say, God, make us like a palm tree. One of the special characters of palm tree is the last stages of palm tree, it brings double, triple time of fruiting. It's very fruitful in its last stage. So we both pray that we want to be more fruitful like the palm tree. We want to be more fruitful and more than what all through our life brought to people to your kingdom. We want to do double and triple now, the years that you give us. But at the same time, we want to be strong finishers. We want to finish serving the Lord in action, in ministry. That is our prayer. So keep us in your prayers. I just want to read a few verses taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verses from 31 onwards. These are the words that challenged me as a young girl of 13 years. I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 13 years. My father was pastoring a church in south of India, and we were 8 children. We were brought up in a very godly way. So when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a special meeting. Some preachers came and preached. In the meeting, he was preaching from this Romans chapter 8. It's a beautiful chapter. I love it. And verses from 31, God spoke. And that is these verses challenged me to join my husband as missionaries in North India. Now, we are missionaries in North India. I'm from south, from near a city like Bangalore, if you can say. Very close to Bangalore was my hometown. But now we are in Delhi. It is 2,000 kilometers north from my hometown. So when God challenged, I gave my life and said, God, if you take me to any remote village or any place in India, I will go and preach the gospel, tell your love. The love I received from you, I will share it. That was my prayer. And I'll read these few verses. Romans chapter 8 from 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep that for slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the verse that challenged me when I was 13 years old. In that meeting, they called for ministry and altar call. I went forward and said, God, I want to serve you. The verse says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Is perils or suffering or nakedness. In all these things, God has made us more than conquerors. And nothing can separate us from love of God. We are in North India now for 47 years. We are married for 49 years. After 2 years, when my oldest son was 4 months baby, we took him and traveled to North India by train. It took 2 days and 2 nights in train to go to North India. So we were in the train for 2 days, and the third day we got down in Agra. That is where Taj Mahal is. We were there in Agra for 17 years. That was our Bible college. That was our school of hard knocks. We went through a lot of suffering, persecution, and opposition, and attacks. 2 times our house was ransacked and attacked. And the second time, they pulled my husband out of the house, and they held him back and started beating. My daughter was with me. She was maybe around 7 or 8 years old. She was crying, oh, they are hitting her dad. I just held her and took her to the bedroom so she won't see it. And we knelt by the bedside and we prayed to God. They could have killed him. They could have done any harm. But after hitting him for many times, they left and they went away. But God kept us. And they challenged, if you continue the church here, next Sunday, we will come and burn your building, they said. We never stopped. We did not go there to be afraid of them. The God who called us was faithful. He kept us. He enabled us to go on. And we lived in Agra for 17 years. But in 1993, God told us to move to Delhi. God told us, I've called you for a bigger ministry. You go to the capital, he said. It was hard for us because by that time we built a nice building, a good congregation. But God said, take your suitcases and go to Delhi. We left everything, our house, our suitcase, everything in Agra, and just moved. We didn't have not even a family in Delhi to go and start a ministry. Out of scratch, we started the ministry in Delhi. But today we have 12 churches. And in the headquarters, we gather every Sunday more than 500 people. We have a vibrant, very powerful church by the grace of God. And we are all training them to be leaders. We tell our church members, you're not believers. You're all called to be leaders. So each one has to be a leader, a preacher, an evangelist. So we are training them. So we are challenged. And all the experiences God gave us, you know, we are imparting into the our believers. And we have a lot of leadership training meetings. Thank God for COVID. It taught us to learn many technology. And we meet via Zoom. We train a lot of people. I connect with ladies. Every once a month in Delhi church, around 80 women, we connect and we pray and share the word and motivate them. And once in a month, pastors' wives all over India, because we have 215 churches. I connect with their wives, lady pastors, and they encourage them. And personally, I'm raising prayer warriors among women. Every day I pray by phone with 2 ladies and challenge them and encourage them to be prayer warriors. Not only that, lately God put a burden in our heart to start all-night prayer. Prayer is very powerful. Prayer does amazing things, you know. And we were motivated to start this prayer. Night, 10 o'clock we start and go up to 4:30 in the morning. All through. Every second Friday of the month we pray as a church. A lot of people come and join. And some pray till 1 o'clock, who go to work next day. But others stay till 4:30. And we both lead it. And we are challenged. We pray. And we make others to pray. So thank God for the move of God. I just want to encourage you this morning as we were worshiping the first song. Wonderful worship, beautiful songs. I so enjoyed. And I saw light, bright lights moving. Whenever I see lights moving, I see the angelic movements. God has been showing me last 6 months, I see a lot of angelic movements in our church. One time I saw angels dancing on the stage along with the worship team. And they're forming small, small circle of 6, 7 angels, and they're dancing and worshiping. This morning I saw, along with the bright lights, I saw angels moving here. Glory be to God. You have angelic movements in your church. The Shekinah glory of God is here. And I believe God you're poised for a powerful ministry. Doubling of your church very soon. You're going to see powerful move of God here. And he already started. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron and Cynthia, for this beautiful time. God bless you.
Yes, a joy to be here again. And I've been feeling that's a beautiful church. God has got great purposes, and Pastor Aaron and Pastor Cynthia, and with their heart, they're leading the church. It's a wonderful, experienced, spiritual parents here. And I just want to, while I was sitting there, I just thought about this one. You may know this story. An elephant and a little mouse, they wanted to cross a small little canal or a river. And there was a little bridge. It was made with a wooden bridge. So the little mouse, what he did was he jumped upon the elephant and sat on the back of the elephant. And they were walking, and they just crossed, and they were shaking. And then the other side they came, and the little mouse got down and said, "Boy, we shook that bridge." What I want to say was, with Christ, we are heroes. Without Christ, we are just zeros. Jesus said, "You cannot do anything without me. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And I feel very strongly. I'm in the ministry from 1963 till today. Everyone who's seated here, there is something God has got for you. Hallelujah. And the greatest thing is to discover. And if you look at the Bible, I have a small message to deliver. If you look at the Bible, the first reference to the church, do you know where it is given? It is in the dream of Jacob. Is that right? He's running away from home, going to the uncle's house. Right in the middle, somewhere in the jungle, he just alighted for the night, took a stone, put it as a pillow. That's very nice, eh? Nice pillow. Good boy. And he slept and had a dream. And in the dream, he sees a ladder from the earth to heaven touching, and angels are ascending and descending, and God is standing at the top of the ladder and promising to him that, you know, "I will not leave you till I finish everything that I have talked about you." And then he wakes up from his sleep, and he begins to say, "Surely God in this place, how awesome in this place. This is none other than the house of God." The first reference to the house of God is in the dream of Jacob. Hallelujah. And what happens in the house of God? It's a connecting to heaven. The house of God is connecting to heaven. Even though that's not my message, my main message is a different one, but I'm just giving a prelude to this one. There's a connection between earth and heaven in the house of God. Have you ever noticed? When you come into the house of God, okay, I can also come and tell you that you are the house of God. As a corporate body, we are the house of God. But when you come together here, is that know ye not, you are the temple of the living God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not, ye are the temple of God. Collectively, we are the temple of God, house of God. Individually, we are the temple of God. Okay. So in the house of God, what happens? There's a connection between earth. It's a two different spiritual dimension. For example, you all came there, you put your car somewhere and then walked inside. It's totally a different dimension. When you go out of the door into the world, then there is something different than what was here. So it connects you, it takes you to another dimension. Secondly, there's an angelic activities. Please understand, you know that, I don't need to tell it. We all know what's happening in the whole world right now. God kept the heaven for himself and gave the earth to the sons of man. Never forget it. The earth is given to you and to me. How we use the earth, how we treat the earth, that's going to. So what you see right now is literally every demon is roaming around this earth. That's what I see. They're trying to, you know, spoil, defile. So many things are happening around the world. This is the time that the world has seen enough of hell. And this is time for the body of Christ to show heaven. Hallelujah. Can you give a big clap unto the Lord? Amen. Yes. It's time for you and me to show heaven to the people who do not even know. And Jesus prayed for them on the cross. Please, God, Father, forgive them. They do not even know what they are doing. They're waiting for Messiah even now. We are singing songs about Messiah, and they are waiting for Messiah even now. Because the eyes, you know, the veil is not lifted up. Many people. So, you know, there's angelic activities. Then in the house of God, what happens was, there is a promise of God, the presence of God. Without the presence, well, God gave us a vision of planting one church in every district of India. When God gave us a vision, we had 564 districts in India. Now, it's more than 724 districts. The districts are always growing because population is growing. And then we have a friend of ours, is an American pastor and his wife. His name is Rick Riding, Rick and Patty. And they are running, leading the Sukkot Halal in Jerusalem for the last more than 13 years. 24-7 praise and worship in front of Zion, Mount Zion. 24-7 praise and worship for the last 13 years. They are praising and worshiping. He has a great prophetic anointing. And also right now, you know, by the grace of God, all the Middle East and Indonesia and, you know, even China and so many things God is using him to do. And he was with us in our Sunday morning one day. And he called him at the end of the service. Jay, come on the stage. I went on the stage. He was preaching on the day in our service. And he had brought a replica of the Ark of the Covenant all the way from Jerusalem. And he showed that to me and said, Jay, do you recognize this one? I said, yes. This is Ark of the Covenant. Do you know the meaning of this? I said, yes, the presence of God. So you know what he said? The vision that God has given, in the vision you have got is from God. One church in every district of India. But here's the strategy. What's the strategy? Bring my presence. Wherever you go, bring my presence. What is the minimum people needed to bring the presence of God? You all know that. Two or three. If two people gather together, his presence is there. He said, yeah, that's what we were wondering. 724 districts is ever growing. And if you put one pastor and pay him at least minimum, just hand to mouth minimum salary of $100, $150 a month, multiply that with the 724. Who has the money? I don't have that money. But the strategy God gave us, Bring the presence of God. Hallelujah. Can you just say, repeat it? Bring the presence of God. When we bring God's presence in our personal life, in our family life, in our church life, in our ministry life, you stand and see what God is going to do. You know what God told to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1? Walk before me and be the perfect. That's all. God, I want a child. Walk before me and be the perfect. I'll give you a child. He knew the nations of the world will be blessed. You will be blessed. Walk before me and be the perfect. Today, God's voice to the body of Christ is, this battle that we are engaged in, we are not going to fight in this battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. What you and I, as every young believers, every boy and girl and brother and sister, what we need to do, we learn to walk in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And He will do everything. He will do everything for us. What we are just afraid many times, how this is going to be known. Right now, Lizzie was talking about persecution. If you look at the map of India and on the eastern sector after Calcutta, there are many states which are really Christian states because the missionaries from England and America, they had come in the 18th century. States like, you know, Nagaland and Mizoram and Manipur, things like this. So they all have become really Christians. But today what is happening was there's such a persecution of Christians in one state, even today, 350 churches have been burned down. Today, last month, it's going on, continuing. 350 plus churches. They just shut down internet. Government has shut down internet, so we cannot know what's happening there. Then they shut down Twitter so that we don't get. So the pastors who have escaped from there, they run to the next state, which is Nagaland, is a Christian state. They pass on the news, and then we all get the news. This is what happening there. 40,000 Christians are in the forest. Their houses have been burned, and they don't have food, anything. They are trying to send some, you know, money and finances there, but it's very hard to reach them. This is what happening. So, during this time, the body of Christ, what are we going to do? God has equipped all of us with a powerful weapon. Is that right? Even though you know the weapons of our warfare, but I want to add one more weapon, which is a prayer weapon, and we call it the international ballistic missile. Hallelujah. Your prayer. Right from Brooks, you can shoot this one to any nation. It is possible. It is possible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Your prayer, having said all the things, you know, the truth, you know, your belt of truth, and, you know, your righteousness, you know, your breastplate of righteousness, and your, you know, the preparedness of your shoes, and then, you know, your faith, you know, your shield of faith, and then your word and your helmet. After having described everything, Paul says, praying always in the Holy Spirit. That is also a powerful weapon. Because prayer, pray with all kinds of prayer. Prayer of thanks, prayer of sitting, freedom, binding, loosing. A child of God can do so many things. Today, I want to share with you maybe a few more minutes. I'm not exactly sure, Pastor Aaron, how much time, maybe 10 minutes or 20 minutes? Fine. So, I got the permission, hallelujah, so I'll go ahead. You know, so what we do, what we see right here is this. We have got the power, the believer's authority. Every believer has got the believer's authority. And if you want to know the believer's authority, if you do not know that one, we sang a wonderful worship song, I am what you say I am, hallelujah, amen. That's where our identity comes. We are not going to look at our failures all the time, you know, our discouragements and what we made in the past. Sometimes the enemy turns us to become inward. Once you go inside, inward, then you are only looking at what happened in the past. No. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, let's run the race that's set before us. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Looking unto Jesus, not looking at anybody else. Not looking at anybody else. Looking unto Jesus, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. So terrible persecutions are going on. At the same time as Lizzie was sharing with you, God is prompting us to see God's face, because this battle is just, we don't need to fight in this battle. But in this battle, we'll seek the face of the Lord. This morning, I wanted to take a subject, a focused life. Because what happens was, every time you want to come closer to the Lord, the devil diverts you. If he cannot take you head-on collision, he just diverts you. You want to do something for God, God diverts you. The devil diverts you. So you end up doing things which God even never wanted you to do. And all your energy gone, your time gone. So as children of God, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We are not ignorant, because the Spirit of God is residing in us. We can understand. And you may ask me, Pastor Jay, how can I discern? How do you discern? Let me ask you a very simple question. There may be many women standing there. Are you able to recognize your wife? Yes or no? Yes. Many women may be there. But you know who is your wife. That's how. Why? Because you live together. You walk together. You talk together. So when we spend time with Jesus, we are able to recognize his voice. My sheep hear my voice. We are able to discern what God wants to do. Many a time what happens was, we live a life that is not focused. We don't want to do exactly what God is saying. I'm going to give a few verses very quickly. It may be some verses right here. And let's just go and see. Luke chapter 2 verse 49. This is about Jesus. When he was a small boy, his parents are just going around searching for him. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Made it very clear. He was just focused. Don't you know that I must be about my father's business as a young little boy? So Jesus was focused. Let's look at another verse. John chapter 4 verse 34. John chapter 4 verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Not only I do the will of God, my very life, he makes it very clear, my very life is to do the will of God. Now, have you found out what God wants you to do in your life? You have to understand it. And it is not very hard. When I was 16 years old, I found out that God wants me to go to northern India. It's the same country, but don't think India is just one country. The parliament operates, functions in 14 major languages. You have two languages, you have enough trouble. Is that right? And our parliament functions on 14 major languages. There are 1,400 plus languages in India. Every state has got its own language, its own culture, food, everything. So you should not think that Indians mean just all are. No. Everybody is different. Yeah. So what I want to do was, what I say was, have you found out what God wants you to do? God said, when I was 16 years old, I wanted to go to northern India. Because the state that God took me first is a very big state. And you know how many people live in the state right now? 210 million people in one province. Do you know the percentage of Christian? No, not even one. Not even half. Not even quarter. 0.15% Christians. And that includes Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, Methodist. A place that does not even know God. That's where terrible persecutions are taking. Two of our victory pastors were arrested and put behind the jail without any charge. 15 days he has to be there. 15 days during the COVID time, they just put in a small room. There were more than 150 people there. They just dumped them right there. So that is the state God said. So I knew it. What is the thing that God wants you to do? You know why? Because when you know exactly what God wants you to do, you can become powerful. You can become effective when you know that what God wants you to do. So let us just read a few verses how Jesus was very much focused. Look at John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, John 5, 19 in KJV, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Anything that, you know, Jesus did, he says the Son cannot do anything of himself. What is that? Always in prayer, he saw what Father God is doing. That day, he just healing that Bartholomew, you know, the Bartimaeus. He's healing the blind man. He's already seen that in the prayer, that God the Father is healing the blind man. And he went and did that. Everything. And look at another word also. It's very interesting. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. It's very, very interesting. What I should say, if you look at in NLT, it's really, you know, throws more weight on the thing. God is telling me what to say in NLT and how to say. You see, his life is totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. Even how we talk to people and what to say and how to say, it's very, because one or two words, the way in which we say, can trigger people off, and they get, you know, they get resentment against us. So Jesus' life was very much focused. Okay, look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew 16, 21. Here is Jesus talking with his disciples and asking them what the people say about me. And Peter says that, oh, you're the Son of God, something like that, and he was appreciating him. And then let us look at this one. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse number 23. But Peter, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. But thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Okay, what happens is, when the revelation comes, Peter says, oh, you are the Son of God. It's a revelation. Jesus says, it's revealed from heaven. Then Jesus explained that how the Son of God must go and die, that the plan of God for salvation, Peter couldn't understand it. Many of us, we are there for revelation. But when God gives us a plan, we don't want to do it. The revelations, always looking for revelation, that's fine. But the plan of God, many of us, we are unable to. That's what I'm talking. What is the plan of God for your life? What is the will of God? 3 points I want to share with you, and then I want to just close it down. Okay. My title verse for my message today is Nehemiah chapter 3, 6, verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Here we are looking at the life of Nehemiah. He was completely focused. I am not going to waste my life, because only one life, and that will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. We brought nothing into the world, we'll take nothing out of this world. When we stand before the judgment throne of God, the white throne of God, every one of us has to give an account. I cannot give an account for my wife. She has to give an account for herself. I have to give an account. How did I live my life? Nehemiah made it very clear. I am doing a great job. I am not going to come down. I'm not going to waste my time. He said, please understand. These days, these are the days where Everything is available at the finger touch. And we can go to places just with the fingers. And to understand, God, what do you want me to do? Look at all the early martyrs and the missionaries. They had only one thing. Look at your Lord Jesus. He had only one thing in his mind, to die on the cross and was to be buried, arise again, and give the gift of salvation for the whole humanity. Even humanity was not even interested in that, but he did it. So today, just like in Nehemiah, he says, I am doing a great job. The church is a great place. You know, I was talking with the leaders, with the Pastor Aaron, as well as Pastor Bill also. And during the course of the talk, I found out, if I'm not wrong, there are more than people here in this city representing 100 nations. They're all here working in different places. There was a time God took people from here to the mission field. Now, you know what God has done? Come on. He has brought the mission field to your back door. Right here, you can just lead them to the love of God. A piece of cake. Praise the Lord. An act of love. I'm praying for you. Don't worry. Do you have any problem? I would love to pray for you. Just a kind word. A shake hand. Just shake your hand. Sometimes we don't realize what that will do. Oh, tremendous thing. Because you and I are a royal priesthood. We have kingship and a priesthood. Royal priesthood. Both two in one. Praise the Lord. Every believer, you have the believer's authority. Do you know you can lay hands on the sick and pray and they'll be healed? Do you know it's written in the Bible that you can cast out devils in the name of Jesus? All these signs will follow them that have got a theological degree. Is that right? Come on. These signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Jesus lived a focused life. Nehemiah was very much focused. And today I want to release one statement for you. More than 70 years they were trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They couldn't. 70 years. But Nehemiah built in 52 days. Are you all familiar with that? Yes? 52 days, the walls of Jerusalem. Do you know what happened? It is a season. In the time, in God's time, you will finish what you could not do in a lifetime. That's the time we are all here. And I believe this church, whatever has taken place in the past, the season for you is now. God has brought 100 nations at your back door. And you are going to achieve what could not be done for many years. Is going to be done because this is your season. Hallelujah. This is your season. And you know one thing? The Bible says, they that heard the word did not join their faith with the word, so the word did not profit them at all. Whenever you hear prophetic words, if you join your word with that prophetic word, then only that word will become active. If you just receive it and leave it, it's not going to work. Never think that because I have a prophetic word, it's going to work. It's not going to work. You have the word of God says, Bible says, you have to join your faith with the word that you hear. Yes, Lord, we believe there's a time for everything and a time for our church. You know what? Very simple, we can double our churches. That's what we are just teaching in our church. How is that? You may ask Pastor Jay, how can we double the church? Each one catch one, that's all. Each one, reach one, catch one. Each one lead somebody to Jesus. And if there are 200 people here, next week there'll be 400 people. It is so simple. But we need to stay focused. Hallelujah. 3 points. With that, I want to close it very quickly. I won't take much time. When you are focused, your vision becomes clearer. When you are focused, your vision becomes clearer. What we kill in the 30s, you will eat in the 50s. Is that right? You got to understand it, okay? Focus means discipline. We need to focus. I want to give my time for my church. I want to stand with my leaders and ask them, pastors, you want me to do anything in that church? Pastors, please, how we can do this one? When you give voluntarily your time, your energy, your money, and stand with the leaders, staying focused, because church growth is intentional. It doesn't happen just like that. And the early church members, they did it in spite of the terrible persecution. Nero was a cruelest man, you all know that. They're skinning the Christians, putting them on the stake and setting them on fire. That's why, throwing them before the lions. But even during the persecution time, the church of God learned to navigate through the persecution. And they went from growth and to multiplication, and from Jerusalem to Illyricum, 3,600 kilometers, they fully preached the gospel. Within one or two centuries, brought down the Roman Empire because they stayed focused. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you. That's what we have to do in these days. So when you are focused, your vision become really, really clearer. Let me just read one verse right here. Three more verses I will read and I will wind it up. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 in NLT. Hallelujah. Thank you for, you're staying right here, listening to me. You have come all the way from India, so thank you so much. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. I'm reading in the NLT. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. That's what Paul did. Stay focused. I don't look at my past. Many a time the enemy comes and beats us down. You have done so many sins, and now I don't think God is going to use you. No. No, don't believe that. You know why? If you believe a lie, you are empowering the liar. If you believe a lie, you are empowering the liar. Then he has access into your life. And you just say, like the minor prophet say, rejoice not against me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. Hallelujah. Confess the word of God. The righteous man may fall 7 times. I'm not recommending falling. But if you fall, don't lose your hope. The righteous man may fall 7 times, yet he will rise up. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So when you are focused, you become very, very clearer what you want to do. At the young age, I understood God wants me in North India. That's all. I never bothered for. Yes, God helped me to do my BA in English literature. God helped me to do my Master of Arts in English literature. And then God helped me. I was a lecturer in the university teaching English. And then God brought me and Lizzie together. But the focus was this. When God said, resign your job, your university professorship, resign your principalship, move to North India. It was not very hard because we were very much, focused on that. We resigned it and we went. Hallelujah. So when you are focused, the second point, when you are focused, you are powerful. When you are focused, you are powerful. Because you look at Abraham, he was not weak in faith and did not stagger at the promise of God. Read the word, Romans chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. He was not at all weak because his faith was so strong. And my God has promised he will give me a son. He was so strong. So that's what I said. When you are focused on the promise of God, I am focused on the church growth. I'm focused on the maturity. I am focused on the children of God. I'm focused on reaching Brooks for Christ. I am focused on, there may be many churches. We don't need to worry for that. God has given us a church of our own. Hallelujah. And this church has to grow. Reach out unto people and pray for the people. When God looks at Brooks, he's not looking at all these McDonald's and Boston Pizza, you know, the building. He looks at the suffering masses. There are people in this city lonely. They are so lonely in their heart. Outside they look good, but deep down in their heart, they long for friendship. And that's the time God wants to use you. Hallelujah. So when we stay focused, we become clearer. Vision becomes clearer. When we are focused, we become powerful. For example, one small example I want to give you. Look at the magnifying glass. Look at the magnifying glass. What does it do? What does the magnifying glass do? It takes the scattered sun rays and focus all into one spot, and the fire comes. Is that right? We were all praying. We were all playing with the magnifying glasses. And you just put that on the sunlight, the scattered sun rays, it takes and then focuses, and you put beneath the magnifying glass a cotton or a paper, and it burns. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Today, the enemy has made the children of God double-minded. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Or can I come to church? Oh, no, I don't want to come to church. I'm tired. All double-mindedness. We become weak. And I think the time has come for the children of God. No matter, just like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, our God will deliver us. Even if he does not deliver, we are not going to bow down before the idol. That is the kind of people. With my last point, I want to close. When you are focused, you achieve greater things. When you are focused, you achieve greater things. Again, I want to bring the title verse, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Nehemiah was so focused upon rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He built it within 52 days because he said no to so many things. Here we see that we as children of God, we have to learn to say no. The grace of God is teaching us to say no to all ungodliness. Unless we say that, the enemy will have an upper hand. We have to learn to say no. You cannot be yes, 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 yes. In the colleges, in the schools, in the workplace, in your corporate place where you are working, there are many demands. You know, people are asking for many things. How to say no. Learn to say no. And that way, we just strengthen our muscles, our spiritual muscles. Please remember, the greatest resistance comes when you are nearer to the greatest opportunities in your life. When you are closer to the tremendous opportunity, then the devil increases the attacks upon your life. The more you begin to focus, the more closer you get to your destiny, and the enemy knows it. Hallelujah. Today, I just want to read one or two verses, and I want to close my message. Taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. I want you to look at these two verses. Let us lay aside every weight. So this weight is not sinful. It is not sinful. The next word is sin. And the sin that besets us so easily. We have taken up something which God never expected us to do. That is a weight. God has not told you to do that. And we are doing it. That becomes a weight. You get into relationship God never expected you to. That becomes a weight. I'm not talking about sin, but that's a sin there. The sin that does very easily beset us. You know it, I know it. What is that little sin? The little fox that spoil our vineyard. Our vineyard is about to blossom, fruitfulness. But the little fox, the little sin. But I'm talking about weight. That's why Jesus said, the Son does not do anything other than what he sees the Father doing. When he sees that this is what God is doing, Father, I want to do that one. Church of God. Encounter church. I want to just reach out to every one of you. Only one life. That will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. None of the things will come along with us. None of the things. Kingdoms and kings and kingdoms all shall all pass away. Even your young age, there is something you can only do in the young age. But if you miss that, you won't get it. You won't get it. Today we have to have somebody to hold the hands, to walk on the steps. But there are young people that jump from there down and run. In that time, what God wants you to do. So what you kill in 30s, you will eat in 50s. Never forget it. I want everybody to stand up for a minute. I'm going to tell a little story. I might have told it before here. And I'll pray a word of blessing upon every one of you because you have been faithfully partnering with us. Faithfully partnering with us. And because of your partnership, so many people have received Christ and they've been blessed. And then I'll turn over the mic to Pastor Aaron. Sometimes we think, what I can do? You can do more. You and I can do more. Abide in me and I in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. I remember a story. I might have told it before, but I want to tell it again. Sunday morning, pastor is preaching with passion. But his wife is not very good today. That day had a lot of trouble, pressure, problem, misunderstanding. Generally, pastor's wife, they have a lot of misunderstanding. People misunderstand very easily. So with all this tension, she came and sat. He said, you know, I'm not going to pray for anybody. I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to enjoy the message. I'm going to commit myself. So she's sitting there. It's a big crowd of the church. Pastor's preaching. Suddenly a young girl comes through the aisles crying and sobbing. And she comes and kneels down right there and then she's crying. Pastor couldn't understand what's happening there. And nobody could move also there because the message is going on. So waiting for the message to be over, then they can minister to her. Then the Spirit of the Lord talked to pastor's wife. I want you to get up, go nearer to her, don't say anything, kneel down, put your arms around her. That's all you have to do. And she said, no, I am not going. I myself need help today. I am not ready to pray for anybody. But the Spirit of the Lord did not leave. Holy Spirit said, you have to get up. So reluctantly, she came, knelt down by this girl's side, didn't say anything, put her arms around her. That's all. After the message was over, she began to talk to her. Honey, why is it you are crying? What is the problem? And she said, I had decided to commit suicide today because I was abused in my family. They put me in the foster homes. I was abused there. They put me in some orphanage. I was abused. Everywhere I went, I never knew that anybody cares for me. I don't think God ever loves me. So I said like this. God, if you are alive, today I give you one chance. I go to the church, I will kneel down. If you really love me, if you are a true God, send somebody who will come and kneel by my side and put their arms around me. And with that, I came to the church, and you came and put your arms around me. And that day she was saved. She gave her heart to the Lord. Do you know how many people suffering because of loneliness, rejection, misunderstanding, discouragements, disappointments? Who has the answer? The body of Christ. The church has the answer. It can connect earth to heaven. It can bring angelic activities. It can change life. It can transform life. The city can be transformed. The nations, yes, the battle may be too much for us, but we are not supposed to fight in the battle. We fight on our knees. Hallelujah. We fight by declaring the word of God. Jesus fought against the temptation by the word of God. I know that God is speaking to someone of us. Father, in Jesus' name, me and my wife, Lord, your servant maid, Lizzie, we bless this beautiful congregation that has been standing with us, partnering with us for decades. Lord, you have a purpose even for this building. The tremendous people you have given, the wonderful worship that you have blessed this church with, the beautiful leadership, Lord, that you have given to this church, Lord. Elders, pastors, oh, just thank you, God. I pray, Lord, especially for the young people, that you will touch them, Father. You will make them Josephs and Daniels. Hallelujah. That they will be giant killers, Father God, in a culture that's going against your church, oh God. I pray for all the brothers and sisters, the saints of God. Bless them, Father. We both speak a word of blessing upon the whole church, oh God. Let it become a real place of encounter where people will meet your presence and their eyes will be open and they will see Jesus standing and making promises. Till my words are completed, I will not leave you. Let everybody who steps into this church, let them hear those words. Thank you for this time, Lord. We give you all the glory. And in Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Give a big clap unto the Lord. Pastor Aaron.
Thank you, Dr. J. Who all was blessed by that this morning? He had asked me how much time he could have, and I thought, well, it takes 16 hours to get from India to here, so at least 16 hours, at which point we'll wrap that up. You know what? Just a couple real quick things. Number one, make sure that you bless someone on their way out. Welcome them here. Make them feel loved. Encourage them. If you have any prayer requests, we'll have prayer ministry team after here. If you need any healing or deliverance, if you just need to be filled again or just to be encouraged, please just come forward for prayer. We'll have that here as well. And then just the last thing too, if we can just all extend our hands to Dr. J and Pastor Lizzie, we just want to pray a blessing over them. Father, you are faithful, you are true, you are good. We thank you and we bless them in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that you rejuvenate them, that you strengthen them, that you fill them again with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you go before them, Lord. I pray that you see your ministry flourish as they minister well, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you provide for them in abundance, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord God, and the blessing that they've been used for you, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you continue to spend them as you spend us. We love you, we thank you, and we ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Go in peace. We'll see you next week.